Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay. Let's open the Bible to Isaiah 26. Great book. James Vernon McGee called Isaiah the fifth gospel. Yeah. Hi. It is our privilege, I believe, to live in a time of the changing of America. The man that just won the presidency has made no secret. He plans on changing the Constitution. He plans on changing the military structure. He plans on changing the economic structure. And those of us who grew up in a traditional America, those days are over.
Well, he's going to have to go through the Senate to do it.
He's going to have a Democratic Senate.
No.
Yeah, he's going to have a Democratic Congress.
Congress, but
yeah.
Not the Senate.
Well, the Senate. He'll be able
not
to do it.
Not a filibuster.
Well, he'll be able to do it.
I don't know.
Because there are enough Republicans that don't believe in our Constitution either. They don't understand it.
Well, we'll see.
They've not been able to think. They've not been able to think. They're not trained. We don't educate. In our educational system, we don't educate them to think.
Well.
And he's made it very clear. He's not hidden it. There's been no hidden agenda. I hope it's one of those times that a president doesn't keep his word. Usually we complain to the president, you said you'd do this and you didn't do it. Now I hope he doesn't do it. But he's made it very clear what he wants to do.
Well, he hadn't kept his word all along through the whole campaign for 18 months.
Yeah.
He's always changed his mind.
Well, but his fundamental philosophy about anti-our Constitution, anti-our military, and anti-our economic system. And he's been very consistent on those. It's just how he interprets those.
Yeah.
And it just is a... And it's got to happen. Those of us study Revelation. America's got... things have got to happen in this country. And... but just remind you, I'm going to give my post-election jitters Sunday. But just a beautiful verse. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, the steadfast mind thou will keep in perfect peace. Just doesn't matter what's going on in around us. Does not matter. The steadfast mind thou will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because he trusts in thee. I think a lot of Americans, Christian Americans, have been trusting in America. And that's the wrong object of faith. We've kind of related Christianity with Americanism. And I'm a patriot. But Christianity is not Americanism. Americanism is not Christianity. Steadfast mind that will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord God we have an everlasting rock. Not in some platform of man, but in our Lord. And no matter what, if these things do happen, let's say he turns this into a socialistic state. So what? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I think if we see things changing, and as we see it, because they've already been changing, they've taken the Bible out of our judicial system. They've taken the Bible out of our educational system. And they've taken the Bible virtually out of the churches. And when you remove God and remove the Bible, you have no defense against evil. You have no defense against the lie when you remove the truth. But there's a little thing that hasn't been made a big deal of, but it may become pertinent in our time. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, singular, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now this last little phrase, against such things there is no law. So it doesn't matter what economic system we find ourselves in. And there's no guarantee. There was no ever a guarantee America's going to last forever. 200 years is about it for any democracy. And we've done our 200 years. And where we think we're going to be different than history, I don't know. Because a democracy is, inside of a democracy is like an old, dishwasher or a washing machine, automobile. It's designed to fail in so many years, so you'll buy another one. Democracy has built in destruction, self-destruction. When people realize that they can vote themselves out of the treasury, they'll do it. And they'll vote for politicians who will give it to them. And when you have the masses of people voting to do that, it's over. Now, a republic is different, but we're no longer in a republic. We have been in a republic for over 100 years. But there is no law. So it doesn't matter. And the beautiful thing here is, let's say it is a system. Let's say that it is our fate that we have to live during this time frame of a complete change. In France, they lived through the French Revolution. In England, they just lived through the decline. And that may be what we do. But if we live in it, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace. Not an economic system, fruit of the Spirit. Inner joy, inner peace. So it's a good time to take a look. Where's our faith? Where's the source of our happiness? Is it in our economic system, or is it in the Spirit of the living God? And this because I had a lot of friends after 9/11. I'm not going to fly in planes and all this thing. Hey, your faith was in the wrong object. If your faith was in a plane, a pilot, safety of a plane and all that, it's in the wrong object. It's in the wrong object.
Pam said that's right.
That's right. It's in the wrong object. It's in the wrong object. Your faith's got to be in God. Planes don't bother me. Automobile, my goodness. Every time we get in an automobile, who says automobile is safer than a plane? Just that more people die with a plane crash than in an automobile crash. But how many people die in automobile crashes? So where you put our faith? And we're supposed to be the breed of Christians. Christians. And our happiness and our contentment can't be in an economic system. It's got to be in the Spirit of the living God. And that's what we're studying right now. It's the Holy Spirit. It's one of the most important studies that I've done, and laboriously like we're doing, that I've never done before, in dealing with the Spirit of Truth. So let's begin with that. Now let's talk about prayer. I want to continue to be in prayer for Eve's recovery. I want to continue to be in prayer for Pam's son and daughter-in-law. Be in prayer for Tish. I want to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. Don Becker goes in to have some surgery things done Friday, so we need to be in prayer for him. He's a regular member here. Vic Edwards and Cindy Edwards in Wichita Falls, we need to be in prayer for them.
And their family.
I'm sorry?
And their grandchildren and grandchildren.
Their grandchildren and children and grandchildren. Just need to be in prayer for each other. Need to be in prayer for this assembly. I don't know what God's plans are with this assembly. So we have a lot of things we need to be in prayer for. But let's just get ourselves ready for our study tonight on the Spirit of Truth. Nothing like suffering, pressure, temptations, difficulties, change. I demand that we take a look at ourselves and see what we're trusting. See whom we're trusting. Why do we fall apart with stress, anxiety, and depression? Why do we go into fear? Is it not the object of our faith or the absence of it? Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, met with the disciples and laid out the format, the covenant for the church. He with you will send us the Spirit of Truth. Truth is not found in the wisdom of man, not found in documents written by man. It's found in faith, in trusting your Spirit to reveal truth to us. What peace, what comfort, what strength we derive when we put our faith in you, your Spirit, and your Son. So, Father, I pray now your Spirit will open our eyes as we study Him. He was not sent to glorify Himself. He was sent to glorify your Son. So we need to know about Him, understand Him. I pray that the things that your Spirit would have us to see are made clear to us tonight. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's a shame being in ministry over 30 years and never really studied this passage, but time is right, so this is where we are in the Gospel of John 14, and where Jesus Christ said, I will send you another parakletos, that's another like me. I will ask the Father and He will give you another parakletos. I just don't know any word that works. Helper, comforter, deliverer. There's so many words. But I'm just going to turn parakletos into an English word for us. Not to be cute or clever, but just there's no one word. There is no one word. Helper, to me, gives a wrong nuance just to the average person. He helps me. No, He does it all. I just trust Him. I understand helper. I understand the Greek word helper. I understand that if we talk about an infant being helped by his parents. But when we say the word help, that just means I do my part and He does His. I have a little trouble. Comforter, boy, I love that, but He's a lot more than that. So there's just so many words that we could do. Encourage, teach, guide, all these things that Jesus Christ did, He does. So another parakletos. In order that He may be with you, because I'm leaving. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. He may be with you. I'm leaving. He may be with you forever. That comes from the fact that I'm leaving. I don't want you to think I'm going to send you another one that's going to leave you. I'm leaving you. He will never leave you. That is the Spirit of truth. He's a spirit. Don't be looking for another human being like me. Don't be looking for a human. Don't be looking for something you can see with your eye, touch with your hand, hear with your ear, your audible ear. He's Spirit of truth. And we've made it a little ways through here. Let me just quickly go over these. I don't apologize because it doesn't hurt to get ourselves oriented. Let's see, we have made it through. I thought I'd mark that, but let me see here.
We were on the 10th point.
10th, yeah, we're on the 10th one. Yes, yeah, we finished the 10th one. Who said that? You get a prize.
But I remembered it.
Huh?
But I remembered it, and I don't even have any notes.
Hey, there you go. Good, see there? You get a prize. You get two here, too.
Recite. I just remember the notes.
Okay, one. First, God is truth. God is absolute truth. Two, Jesus Christ is that truth revealed, made manifest. I am the way, the truth. Three, the Holy Spirit is called a Spirit of truth by Jesus. In sending the Holy Spirit to the believers in the church age, He's called the Spirit of truth. That truth that He Himself is. Four, remember that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are different yet similar. Another parakletos. Another. Just like me. Deity. Excuse me, therefore truth. Remember that the Holy Spirit takes the place of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's the Spirit of truth. 5, that truth that Jesus Christ is, that truth and life which he brought down with him from God, is the bread of life, as spiritual reality, spiritual truth, the truth of life of God, the truth of fellowship with God. He is the Spirit of divine truth. 6, to the degree that we give ourselves to him by faith, it's the only way we can, so to that degree, he reveals divine truth and gives it to us. So if a person spends little time each week, he gets just a little bit. A little more. Spend a little time each day, more time each day, more time you spend in the text, Holy Spirit reveals more and more truth. So to the degree that we give ourselves to him by faith, to that degree he reveals divine truth. He makes Jesus Christ and life given by God to be truth. 7, the Holy Spirit teaches the truth. He does not only give us words coming from without, he enters within. Words without, the truth is outside of us. So he comes within, he enters in thus, and causes us to know the truth from within. And when we, by faith, not by intellect, not by figuring it out, not by IQ, not by logic, but by simple faith, allow him to open our eyes to the truth. Allow the Holy Spirit to make this truth a reality. He is the Spirit of truth. Not from without, but from within. This is very important in this respect. Point 8. Jesus Christ said he will ask the Father, and the Father will send to us the Spirit of truth. He told us what the primary function of the Holy Spirit would be. John 15:26. He would bear witness of me. This is the primary function. He will bear witness of me. Jesus Christ has declared, I am the way and the truth. So the Spirit of truth, primary work is to reveal the fullness and the glory of the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Now, who is Jesus Christ in the image of?
The Father.
The Father. So we go back to absolute truth with the revealing of the Son. This is why faith is so vital, people. I've been working for Sunday morning, on the Sunday morning, and I know that we had some Christians as our forefathers. People like Patrick Henry understood the tribulation. He understood dispensations. We had some people who believed in God. Had some deists. But I wonder how many of them were filled with the Spirit. Now, they came up with a great document, unprecedented in human history by human hands. Not talking about the Bible, just in human hands designing government. It was a masterpiece of freedom. And it takes their mind thinking to do that. Very few people can think that way anymore. I think this is one of the great problems in America, is that most Americans cannot understand the difference between socialism and freedom, understand what our forefathers did when they left Europe, and all that happened in the formation. They don't have the ability to process it. One of our problems with our educational system is it's not designed to teach us to think anymore. It used to be. But now they're so worried about the SAT and learning these facts and all that, they do not teach how to think, how to put things together. And so it is absent in this respect. But it's not by all that reasoning in the spiritual truth. It's by faith. What faith? Faith in the Spirit of the living God. It's not just that it is faith. Is it the faith that God is looking for? And then point 9, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Many Christians who are afraid to think too much of the Holy Spirit, they're afraid to trust the Holy Spirit because this will lead them away from the Savior, from trusting the Savior, from thinking of the Savior, not realizing that only when we do trust in the Spirit do we learn of the Savior in truth and develop a richness with Him in truth. And while this may be true from thinking of the Holy Spirit, this will never happen if we simply are trusting in the Holy Spirit. Now, you can make in the flesh too much of the Holy Spirit, as the charismatics do, but it's all about them. When the charismatics talk about a second blessing and the Holy, it's all about them. It's not about Jesus Christ. See, the thing is, I must decrease, He must increase. Now, this can be fake, but let's go the spiritual way. And this happens when you're trusting the Spirit. The Spirit causes you, you're not important. You're not. What's important is Christ, who and what He is. So He increases and you decrease, and that's why there's peace, joy. When we're trying to hold on to things, we're depressed, anxious, fear. All these things happen when we're losing things, and we're our money, our wealth, our position, our things, relationships, and all this. It's what causes this sad, S-A-D. But when you just trust Him, you decrease. He increases. There's a peace. I'm not important. He will take care of me. So this becomes so important. But with a charismatic, it's all about me. I have the second blessing. Listen to what I've got to say in my speaking in tongues. All this kind of thing. So they make so much about themselves. One group wants to, so afraid of the Holy Spirit, want to make everything Jesus Christ. They miss. Other people make a whole lot of the Holy Spirit and it's all about them. They miss it. It's a simple thing to just trust His Spirit to open the truth of Scripture up to us. It's very, very simple. The Spirit comes, He'll bear witness of me. John 16:14, He will glorify me. He will bear witness of me. He will glorify me. You will discover the more that you walk by faith in the Spirit, the more you'll love His Word, want to understand His Word, want to be in His Word, which takes you to the person of Jesus Christ. And the more you think of Jesus Christ, the less you think of yourself. And the less you think of yourself, joy, peace, contentment. You're not looking and worried about self. He is the Spirit of truth. Okay, point 10. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Well, that's what we just did. We just did that. Okay, now, point 11. He is called the Spirit of truth. Yet it is said in John 16:13-14, He will not speak from Himself. Let's look at John 16 a moment. John 16:13-14. But when He, Jesus Christ speaking in the upper room, the night He was betrayed, the Spirit of truth. Well, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes. Now, we'll find out that's technical for the indwelling. He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative. But whatever He hears from the Father, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. Okay, all things that the Father are Mine now. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. We'll come to all of that, what that means. So, He will not speak of Himself. Yet we know that Jesus Christ, what? He said the same thing of Himself. Look back at John 12. Look back at John 12. Look back at John 12:49. For I did not speak on My own initiative. Holy Spirit will not speak on His initiative. But the Father Himself who sent Me has given Me commandment. What to say and what to speak. Look at chapter 14:10. Huh? Same thing. 14:10. Chapter we're in. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My own initiative, but the Father abiding in Me does His works. People, and now 16:13. Let's look at chapter 16:13, then I'll talk. 16:13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. People, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are different, but they're so similar. Why people have such an antagonism to trusting the third member of the Godhead is beyond me. They fight it. They resist it. Did they not resist believing in Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Do they still not resist? Still not resistance to that? Yeah. People still resist just believing in Jesus Christ. So it's not a surprise. But they're different, but they're very similar. That's why he said another, just like me. So they are different, but they are similar. So just as Jesus is the truth of God, from God, so the Spirit is the truth of God from God. So we are totally dependent upon the Spirit to ever come to truth. The disciples were dependent upon Jesus to reveal what he was going to reveal about himself. Jesus is leaving. Christianity is going to permeate the whole earth. So what has happened now is that God said, well, my son who's leaving isn't here. I would need to be a way to give believers wherever they're found, whether they're in Africa or in Europe or in the East, wherever they are, that come to know Jesus Christ. I want them to come to know me. I want them to come to know Christ. I'm going to send the Spirit. I sent my son to bring reconciliation to man. I bring my son, my Spirit, to bring truth to man. So we are totally dependent upon the Spirit to ever come to truth. It's not in our human IQ. Boy, I used to be taught that Paul was a genius and all this stuff that Paul did was his genius. No! His genius got in the way a couple of times. It was his faith. Trusting the Spirit. The one who has come, is to come, is Spirit. So do not be looking for a physical person. The one I am sending is Spirit, not seen with the eye, the Spirit of truth. This word is used, Spirit of truth. This word truth is used of the incarnate word, truth, and of the written word. It's used of the incarnate word and the written word. Okay. First of all, the incarnate word. Jesus Christ in this very chapter declared, I am the truth. It's used of the written word. It's used of the written word. Declared to be truth. Look at John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The incarnate word is truth, called truth. The written word is called truth. Let's look at Psalm 119. 119:160. There's one other little passage on it. 119:160. The sum of thy word, or all thy word, is truth. So here's the truth. So it's the incarnate word and it's the written word. Now it's the Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. Incarnate word, that is the Spirit of Christ. In that he is sent by Jesus Christ. He is sent by Jesus Christ. So he is the truth of the incarnate word. Chapter 16. I'm giving you the verses, so write them down with these points. 16:7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And because he is sent to glorify Jesus Christ. So he is the Spirit of truth, the incarnate word. One, he is sent by Jesus Christ, 16:7. And two, he is sent to glorify the incarnate word, 16:14 again. 16:14, he will glorify me. So therefore he's the Spirit of truth, incarnate word. Now, how is he the Spirit of truth of the written word? How is he the Spirit of truth of the written word? First, he inspired and directed men in the writing of it. He inspired and directed men in the writing of it. Let's look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Our Declaration of Independence is a phenomenal document in the writings of man. Our Constitution is a phenomenal document. On purpose left out what the government can do. And our President-elect has said that we have been damaged by our Constitution because it has limited what the government can do. He wants to go back and make the government responsible for people. He does not understand that document. He does not understand freedom. He thinks it's the government's responsibility to take care of man from the womb to the grave. Our forefathers knew better. We're living in a changed time. And people want that. People want this change. People want it. They don't know. But that document was written by man, not by God. It's written by man. This book is written by God. It's written by God. The thrust of all the Old Testament from Job on was the coming of the Messiah. Even though when he did come, they rejected him. But this is the message of the whole of the Old Testament. And by the way, throughout the Old Testament was also the prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is pretty much rejected even today. Secondly, so one, he inspired men to the writing. Secondly, he illuminates men as to the truth of the Word. Look at John 16:13. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will illuminate. We are so appreciative and thankful for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the preservation of the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, the accumulation of the Bible by the Holy Spirit, but people still wouldn't be any good off if it was not for the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truthfulness of the Scriptures. Before now, Jesus Christ was their teacher, but with his departure, the Holy Spirit 14:26. Sometimes we'll be looking at these passages twice, but each time with a different emphasis. So let's look at 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So he's going to take his place. I'm leaving, he will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is another parakletos. He is the Spirit of truth. He is truth. God is truth. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is truth. Does that make sense? He is truth. God is truth. Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, it said that, remember in geometry, God is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. If the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit is truth. It's a very simple understanding. And he imparts that truth to those he controls, who allows him to control them by faith, trusting him to teach them. Chapter 16:13 again. The Spirit of truth. Okay, let me just talk to you practical. Let's just talk for a moment about this. Let's step away a moment from deep theology. The importance here is that truth is so vital to our lives. I'm talking about our everyday lives now. I'm not talking about heaven and hell and eternity. I'm talking about in our daily life. The truth will set you free. You deny the truth, you go into darkness. You're no longer free. The truth in understanding your life. Truth in understanding what happens in your life. The truth in understanding death. The truth in understanding what happens after death. People, this is what men have searched for. think back in your education, philosophy, the philosophers, Aristotle, Plato, men have searched this. We have this innate thing in us. Where did I come from? We like to know who our mother and father is. Boy, you see these movies and stuff where they don't know who their mother and father is, and they can't accept even their adopted parents. They got to go find out who their real mommy was and who their real daddy was. We got to know. Where did I come from? What's it all about? Years ago, it used to be a goofy movie. What's it about, Alfie? And it just, what's it about? Where are we from? You have the truth. Truth in understanding politics. It's if you just take man as an animal with no future, no past, you develop a philosophy of socialism, fascism, communism, dictatorship, this kind of thing. But if you come from truth, that influences how you govern. If you understand truth, the interaction of man is based on truth. A man may treat his wife like a slave or like something he owns, but once you realize that she is a creation of God, or even another person, a slave, a real slave, the interaction, how we deal with one another, serve one another in love under the new covenant. What does all this come from? It comes from truth. But these are the things that man writes on: philosophy, theology, psychology, sociology, economics. All these studies are about interaction of man. We've got to. You ever notice how those of you that have dogs, whatever room you're in, the dog's got to be in that room. You go. I've got people tell me, oh, my dog follows me to the bathroom. My dog follows me here. My dog follows me there. We're just saying we want to be where people are. Be where people are. We're interacting people, not an island. And the truth governs how we deal with one another. Aristotle, Plato, who tried to work through all these issues, doing it from the flesh mind. And I've often told people, if you don't want the Bible, you don't want Christ, and you don't want God, read Aristotle. He's great on it. He's great on it. He tells you about the law. Plato wrote on the Republic and all these things, and they've thought it all out. And that's why they're still read and studied, people, in colleges. That's why they're still read and studied. They're the best from the flesh point. But it's not truth. It's not truth. Obama tried to put down McCain because McCain support of capitalism as opposed to Obama socialism, by saying that McCain, by supporting capitalism, capitalism functions from the basis of greed. He said that. He said, I'm surprised that McCain supports a that is spawned by greed. Now, while that may be argued, there's nothing more built on greed in a political system of government than socialism. Nothing. Communism. I want, I deserve my share. I don't have to work for it. I just deserve it. That is greed. Now, Adam Smith's laissez-faire capitalism is based on greed. I have no problem with that. But you see, with laissez-faire capitalism, what you've got to do is you've got to think, by virtue of the system, of others. What can I do for you that you'll give me what I want? If I make shoes, will you give me a coat? If I get milk from my cows, will you give me something that you have? So you have to think, what can I contribute to society? Can I just stand up and entertain you? That's a fair market. Can I entertain you and you pay me? You throw me some shekels, pay the music if you want to dance, that kind of stuff. So capitalism, any system that's made up for a nation, people, is made up for unbelievers and believers. Unbelievers and believers. So you're going to deal with a society of people that have a sin nature. So you come up with a system that best functions. And the one that's bad, where I have to think of others. I have to think. I want $100. Call that greed. And that's why I said we'd have to argue about this. But if we call that greed, okay, what's the difference in, hey, I just sit here watching TV and you owe me my 100? Versus, what can I do to get 50 from you and 50 from you? So you have to be able to think all of these things through. Principle, government, church, age, is nation for unbelievers and believers. Socialism, communism appeals to the most basic form of greed. Laissez faire capitalism does too. But socialism, communism, fascism is all about me. It's all about me. Whereas laissez faire capitalism, think about the other person, about you. What do you want? What can I give you? Well, maybe I can work on your teeth. Maybe I work on your eyes. Maybe I can work here. Maybe I can build you a shelf. Maybe I can build you a table. Maybe I can build you a house. Maybe I can do the plumbing. What can I do that you will want to give me something? So it demands that we think of the other person. But all of these are systems trying to figure out the interaction of man. The interaction of man. The truth will set you free. It'll set you free, people, in every discipline of life. So one of the most wonderful things God does for every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ is to give us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and one of the functions of that Spirit is to illuminate truth. Teach us truth. Then it's up to us to rest in that truth and that by faith, which will end stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry. All things are in His hands. What He has given us in giving us truth, people, is the most remarkable thing on earth. Now, if we get out of line, we can say, well, this is truth, they're not doing truth, so now I'm upset. No, we go back, He's in control. He will work all things out for those who love Him. How do we love Him? Continue to walk in His Spirit. And the Spirit gives you that love for Him. So by giving to you and to me the Spirit of truth, this is so vital to our lives, to our everyday life, day with our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, our friends, social, business, interaction in life. He's given us the most wonderful gift in giving us the Spirit of truth, Spirit of enlightenment. Truth is mightier than all the sciences of men, all the rationalisms of men, all the searching of men. We have it. Here we are. We didn't go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton and all these things and and able to understand all the things that man has accomplished. But everyone in this room, you have truth. Absolute truth. The world laughs at it. Our president-elect scorns it, wants it out of the schools, out of the judicial system. That's what we've been doing for a long time. They don't want the truth. All right, where have we just been in Romans chapter 1? They said no to the truth. They believed the lie. And what did they do? Claiming to be wise, they became what? Fools. But they think they're wise. This is why we can't flaunt this truth. It's why I don't, the charismatics like to flaunt the... You don't flaunt the work of the Holy Spirit. It's inside. It's peace. It's joy. It's love. It's given out in love. But it's not flaunted. So truth is the mightier of all the sciences of man. Yet man rejects the truth, believes the lie, claims to be fools, or claims to be wise. So he rejects truth, believes lie, claims to be wise. That's the folly of man. This is the only way. This is the folly of man. I reject the truth, I adhere to the lie, and I claim to be wise. So much biblical teaching, Bible study, Bible knowledge, have so little fruit into true knowledge and the truth of the Scriptures because it is studied with human wisdom. I think this is one of the problems as I talk to pastors and things and see what's happening in the Bible church movement across America, is that so much of it is done from the wisdom of man. I've gone now a couple of years to different pastors' conferences, and a couple of them, John and Dan and I would sit there and we'd look at each other and we'd go to the hotel room and talk about it that night. But they would talk about, boy, it all comes down to the Greek and Hebrew. And man, I'm talking about the teachers at seminaries and preachers. And boy, it really comes down to that. And one of the problems that we don't come to this is because we don't have the true understanding. And boy, let's look at this. And they razzle and dazzle with the Greek and the Hebrew and all those kind of things. It's only the wisdom of man. And people, that will eventually fail. It will. And I think that's what's happened. I don't know how much Bible studying in the Bible church movement has been done in the power of the Spirit of the living God. I don't know. I don't think much. I don't think very much. And I think that's why it hasn't lasted over 100 years. About 100 years ago, Lewis Berry Chafer started talking about forming Dallas Seminary and going out and teaching. And it's already gone. I just don't know how much of Bible teaching was done in the Spirit. I don't get the idea there's very much. And there was a lot of adherence to the Bible, a lot of studying the Greek and Hebrew and getting down and studying it, but I'm not sure how much of that was in His power. I don't know. Maybe a mastery of the languages among others, may be insightful, it may be intriguing and so on, but I think a lot of it's still the knowledge of human abilities. My ability to be fancy with this and a new breakthrough here and a new way of doing that and all this kind of thing. But it is not a knowing of the Bible that is completely dependent upon the Spirit of the living God. Completely dependent on Him. And I wonder if that isn't some of the darkness that we're experiencing today by faith, just trusting His Spirit. This wisdom, this knowledge is not from the Holy Spirit, who Himself speaks not from Himself, but from God the Father. What He hears from God the Father, this is what He gives. And God is truth. We won't look at it now, but you can write down Psalm 31:5. He's the truth. God is truth. How am I going to get that? By trusting Him, His Spirit, to give it. The Holy Spirit is silent and does not speak except when He hears God, the God of truth, and then only when He's told to reveal it. Only when He's told to reveal it. So, we cannot miss the all importance of the Spirit of truth. The battle throughout history is seeing and knowing truth versus the lie. It's part of the whole battle of history. Without true Spirit of truth, man will be drawn to the lie. Seeking the truth is why man places so much emphasis on knowledge. The great value, knowledge will change everything and knowledge will do it. No, it won't, people. They're seeking knowledge to find truth. No, you find the truth, and the truth will open up knowledge. See? You let the Holy Spirit, you find the source of that truth, the Holy Spirit, He will teach the truth. But truth is known by a way that often offends. And here's one of the great problems, people. Truth is known by a way that offends the flesh. You mean it doesn't depend on my IQ? It doesn't depend on me beating my brains out and studying and studying and working it all out and spend all hours and all of this stuff and all of my work? No, it's by faith. It's by faith. I would paraphrase for you, from my perspective, what the Risleys express. They told me to be sure and express to you, they thank you for giving them so much joy in actually witnessing the Mexicans come to know Jesus Christ and the joy of all of this, and yet they know that it's our prayers and finances. Well, I do the same thing. I thank you for letting me have the privilege of just sitting at home and letting His Spirit open these things up to me. I thank you for that. Because in truth, now, we could talk about pastor, teacher, but in truth, every one of you have the Holy Spirit. Every one of you have the Holy Spirit. And so just some are gifted to have that privilege to study and teach. But we cannot miss the all importance that this is so offensive to the flesh nature, that it is given to us by faith, trusting the Spirit. He takes us into the text. He reveals the truth to us by faith, not by our doing, not by our IQ, which is one of the reasons that it's rejected and ridiculed by the world. Well, you just have faith, faith. This is one of the ongoing little things, and I do like Hal's series. And I don't know who writes it, but the writer, every now and then, House will make a derogatory comment about faith, because he goes on what he sees and what he knows, what he can reason. And he expresses man's view very well, the ridicule of faith. Got to know it. It's got to be scientific, material world. It's got to be able to see it. So the world, the flesh nature, rejects and is offended. It really is offended when we say it's by faith, not by the works of man. We know the truth by faith. People, we cannot prove it. We cannot prove that God created all things. We cannot prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We cannot prove what happened on the cross. We cannot prove heaven and hell. We cannot even prove that man has an invisible soul that lives forever. We can't prove those things. They are truth by faith. They are truth by faith. Simple faith. And we rest in that. Peace. Joy. We don't need to search anymore. We know the truth by faith. By the power of the Spirit, we have peace when we rest in these truths. Truth belongs to God alone. Man is not capable of truth. From the time he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from that point, man has not been capable of truth. Sin has darkened him from truth. He searches and he gropes. He tries to figure God out by knowledge. He tries to figure God out by works. He tries to figure all these things out. And he can't do it. The Spirit is truth. And the world cannot know the truth because it cannot receive the Spirit. Look at our next phrase, John 14:16-17. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. It doesn't say does not. It says cannot. People, this is impossible. It's impossible for us to fly. That's the extent of this. It cannot. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Since truth is known by the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot see or know the Holy Spirit, look what it says. The world cannot receive. Why? Because it does not behold Him, see Him, or know Him. And since truth is known by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot see or know the Holy Spirit. They're blind of the truth. They're blind. And so they go on this frantic search for truth from their own wisdom. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. So, truth belongs to God alone, to the Creator alone, and can come to the creature only by means of the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of truth. The connection of creation with the Creator is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So, the issue is, how am I empowered by the Holy Spirit? It's the most fundamental question every Christian needs to know, and very few even think about it. Subject that very few have an answer. This study has taken me into some of what I'll call the better commentaries, better men who've studied the Scriptures. And one man even had, how are we filled with the Spirit? Which I thought was going to be good. I really like him. He's good day. And said, you do not quench the Spirit. You do not grieve the Spirit. You just give to the Spirit. And you let him. You give to him. And through the studies and through these things, you get the filling of the Spirit. He missed it. He missed it. Now, I do believe, I'm not so closed as I do not believe, I do believe that men like him, at times, without them even knowing how they're filled with the Spirit, they're filled. I think that sometimes they just sat down and said, Father, I just trust you and pray your Spirit now will open these things up to. I believe that. It's just like I believe a lot of Catholics are Christians, not because of the Roman Catholic teaching, but because of the work of the Spirit of the living God. So I believe there are times when people, men through history and women through history, have been filled with the Spirit, but they don't know how they got there. But they just come upon it. I think a lot of times missionaries probably are closer, and the people that I've read that have had it clearly were missionaries, because they're on the boonies. They have nothing to do but trust. They don't have a nice air-conditioned office and deal with the little battles. They trust him day by day. And they've learned to pray, and they've learned to just put their faith in God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. So, okay, this will bring us to point 12. We're almost through with the points, and then we'll get back to our text. But I'm really enjoying the study and the places it's taken me in the text. So, hope you're enjoying it as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. You saw our need of salvation and you sent us your Son. You saw our need of truth and you sent us your Spirit. What an awesome God you are. How much we can learn of your love and how we will love in the Spirit. As we observe you, you see a need and you meet that need. Father, we need your Spirit every hour of the day for peace, the absence of fear, joy, self-discipline, kindness, spiritual love. And it's right there from your Spirit who you've given to us. Pray you'll take the things we've seen tonight, let them become a reality in our souls and in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.